Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 8, Text Number 1. Title of the chapter is Manifestation of Brahma from Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. And it's Maitreya responding to Vidura's questions.
Maitreya Vacha Satsevaniyo Bhattapuru.
That's not the meter.
Satsevaniyo Bhattapuru Vangso.
Satsevaniyo Bhattapuru Vangso.
Yogokapalo Bhagavat Pradhanaha.
Yogokapalo Bhagavat Pradhanaha.
Babu Viteha Jita Kirti Malam.
Babu Viteha Jita Kirti Malam.
Pade Pade Nu Tananasya Bhikshnam.
Pade Pade Nu Tananasya Bhikshnam.
Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya Uvacha.
Satsevaniyo Bhattapuru Vangso.
Satsevaniyo Bhattapuru Vangso.
Yeah. Yalo kapalo bhagavat pradhanaha.
Yalo kapalo bhagavat pradhanaha.
Babu viteha jita kirti malam.
Babu viteha jita kirti malam.
Pade pade nutana nasya bhikshnam.
Pade pade nutana nasya bhikshnam.
Maitreya uvacha.
Maitreya uvacha.
Sri Maitreya Muni said.
Satsevaniyaha.
Satsevaniyaha.
Worthy to serve the pure devotees.
Worthy to serve the pure devotees.
Bata.
Bata.
Oh, certainly.
Oh, certainly.
Puru Vangshaha.
Puru Vangshaha.
The descendants of King Puru.
The descendants of King Puru.
Yat.
Yes.
Because.
Lokapalaha.
The kings are.
Bhagavat Pradhanaha.
Chiefly devoted to the personality of Godhead.
Babhovitaha.
You are also born.
Iha.
In this.
Ajita,
the Lord who is unconquerable.
Kirtimalam,
chain of transcendental activities.
Pade pade,
step by step.
Nutanasi,
becoming newer and newer.
Abhikshnam,
always.
Always.
Translation. The great sage Maitreya Muni said to Vidura, the royal dynasty of King Puru is worthy to serve the pure devotees because all the descendants of that family are devoted to the personality of Godhead. You are born in that family. And it is wonderful that because of your attempt, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are becoming newer and newer at every moment. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya thanked Vidura and praised him by reference to his family glories. The Puru dynasty was full of devotees of the personality of Godhead and was therefore glorious. Because they were not attached to the impersonal Brahman or to the localized Paramatma, but were directly attached to Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, they were worthy to render service to the Lord and his pure devotees. because Vidura was one of the descendants of that family, naturally, he engaged in spreading wide the ever-new glories of the Lord. Maitreya felt happy to have such glorious company as Vidura. He considered the company of Vidura most desirable because such association can accelerate one's dormant propensities for devotional service. Maitre Uvachas Sasevaniyo Patapuru Vangsho Lokapalo Bhagavat Pradhanaha Babhuvite Hajita Kirtimalam Pade Pade Nutanasya Abhikshnam. The great sage Maitreya Muni said to Vidura, the royal dynasty of King Puru is worthy to serve the pure devotees because all the descendants of that family are devoted to the personality of Godhead. You were also born in that family. And it is wonderful that because of your attempt, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are becoming newer and newer at every moment. Om Jnanatim Randasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshara Militam Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovichtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kantavayam Dadati Svapadantikam. The previous chapter is filled with questions. And these questions, the answers to these questions, make up about 2.5 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So they're very important questions. The beginning of the responses goes back one more time to the creation of the cosmos, specifically Garbhadakshai Vishnu manifesting Lord Brahma and then the work of Lord Brahma. This subject matter of creation may not seem attractive to persons that want nice stories. And after all, it's just the material world and we're here already. What about the spiritual world? To understand the transcendental activities of the Lord, one, the entry point is understanding the transcendental Lord's creation of this world, the relationship of this world where we are to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the detachment is false, or say it milder, it's incomplete. Because the fact of the matter is we're attached to the place where we are and not seeing its connection with the Supreme Lord who created it. Even we may theoretically accept, we don't have that deep realization. And so, again and again in these earlier cantos, in different ways, the relationship between the personality of Godhead and His creation is made known. So that's the subject of chapter 8. The way that the chapter begins is another one of the classic manifestations of Bhagavatam where the speaker and the listener are appreciating the features of the speaker or the opposite party, the speaker or the listener. And it's not a mutual admiration society, it's genuine quality. And you read through the questions that Vidura was asking, and they're wonderful questions. It's not that the questions, because he was Vidura, he was even before he went on pilgrimage, he was up there. He was respected by all the members of the Kuru dynasty as wise, deep, vastly learned. And here he's, because he's before Maitreya, he's recognizing Maitreya not only has the same set of information that I have, but Maitreya is perfected soul. And not only that, he's heard directly from Krishna. So I want to hear from Maitreya. And his enthusiasm is overwhelming. And that's what Maitreya is expressing. To be in your presence is so enthusing. I can't wait to respond to your questions. And in the previous section, just before this, the conclusion of the chapter was Vidura praising Maitreya, placing his questions, but he was very excited to hear from Maitreya. And so we have a picture of the qualified listener enthusing the qualified speaker, the qualified speaker enthusing the qualified listener, and they're going up several notches, not just mechanically participating in the activity of devotional service, but they're greatly enlivened in the activity of devotional service. We were discussing this point some days ago about how long must one perform devotional service until one can break through to the realm of pure devotion. Just this morning I was listening to Prabhupada describing that the process of devotional service Prabhupada was practically pleading with his audience and concluded with that, the pleading remark. Being a devotee, paraphrasing more or less Prabhupada's statement, being a devotee means being in pure goodness. And if one is in the modes of nature, that's not what a devotee is meant to do, is because a devotee is meant to become attached to Krishna, who is in pure goodness. And he was specifically saying, explicitly saying, persons who contact such a representative of Krishna in disciplic succession should be able to transmit to that person who they meet pure goodness. Otherwise, it's just a worldly affair. He was imploring the devotees, come all the way. Come to the stage of pure goodness. This is the proper service on behalf of the disciplic succession. Thank you very much. That was how he ended the class. So, maybe you've had this thought. I've certainly had this thought. Touching on the point again, how long will it take to break through and enter into the realm of pure devotional service? How many years of chanting japa, how many lifetimes of devotional service collectively, add all the years of devotional service of the persons in the room, and it's a lot of years. What to speak of what we can't see, how many lifetimes have each one of us in some point or another been engaged in devotional service, and where are we? How close are we to that mark of being conscious of Krishna, thinking of Krishna at every moment, being situated in pure goodness? How distant is that goal for each one of us? So the combination of the enthusiasm to receive transcendental knowledge that Vidura has. And on the other hand, the enthusiasm of Maitreya, that's particularly what this verse is describing. Sat sevaniyo bhata puravamsho. It's like, oh. It's an exclamation mark right in the middle of the statement. Sat sevaniyo bhata puravamsho. Those members of the Puru Vamsha, like yourself, are certainly so devoted to the personality of Godhead, Bhagavat Pradhanaha, that merely by your presence, you're qualified to render the service that you just rendered. Which is, what was the service that he just rendered? He just asked a bunch of questions. But being in this receptive mode, eager to receive the message of transcendence, that's also a service. I mean, yesterday you had a big festival, and that's, you know, a ton of devotional service. What we're doing right now is not like, this is vacation. This is also devotional service. It's that devotional service that builds the other devotional service. Upon hearing and chanting, all varieties of service come. So the qualitative way, the eagerness, the answer to the question, how long will it take? The answer is, how much eagerness is there? And the eagerness of the qualified receiver enhances the eagerness of the speaker. It works like that. That's directly what Maitreya is saying. Merely by your presence, well, he's referring to because of your attempt. You are also born in that family, and it is wonderful that because of your attempt, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are becoming newer and newer at every moment. What is that attempt? That attempt is literally his eagerness to hear. The expression of that eagerness to hear was in the form of questions. But it wasn't just information-seeking questions. It was, I'll read what he spoke. Go back a few verses in the previous chapter. O sinless one, this is Vidura speaking to Maitreya. Please describe the fruitive results of charity and penance and of digging reservoirs of water. Please describe the situation of persons who are away from home and also the duty of a man in an awkward position, so the worldly circumstances. O sinless one, because the personality of Godhead, the controller of the living entities, is the father of all religion, and all those who are candidates for religious activities, kindly describe how he can be completely satisfied. O best among the brahmanas, those who are spiritual masters are very kind to the needy. They're always kind to their followers, disciples, and sons. And without being asked by them, the spiritual master describes all that is knowledge. Please describe how many dissolutions there are for the elements of material nature. And who survives after the dissolutions to serve the Lord while he is asleep? What are the truths regarding the living entities in the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What are their identities? What are the specific values in the knowledge of the Vedas? And what are the necessities of the spiritual master and his disciples? Now it builds up to a crescendo. Spotless devotees of the Lord have mentioned the source of such knowledge. How could one have knowledge of devotional service and detachment without the help of such devotees? My dear sage, I put all these questions before you with a view to knowing the pastimes of Hari. That's really the essence. Hari Katha and Hari Lila, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. You are the friend of all, so kindly describe them all for those who have lost their vision. O spotless one, your answers to all these questions will grant immunity from all material miseries. Such charity is greater than all Vedic charities, sacrifices, and penances. So, that's the end of his questions. Maitreya, hearing everything very carefully, he pauses after Vidura finishes, and then he speaks his appreciation for Vidura. This endeavor of yours . You were born in that family, and it is wonderful that because of your attempt, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are becoming newer and newer. Now, how is that possible? The pastime, Krishna is Navayovana. He's eternally fresh and youthful. How are his pastimes becoming newer and newer? He's already there. It's not that the pastimes in a chronological sense are becoming newer and newer, but in a rasa sense, they're becoming the ever fresh quality of the transcendental Lord's pastimes are manifest when there's such qualified and eager inquisitive persons as Vidura. The Vedanta Sutra underscores the whole thing. The human form of life marks the living entity, the soul's capacity to inquire about transcendence. Say it the other way. If the living entity achieving the human form of life doesn't inquire about transcendence from the Vedic perspective, that's not human life yet. It's not human life yet. But human life begins with that inquisitiveness and atato brahma jigyasa. When ataha means now. So now can mean like now, like immediately, or it can, Prabhupada has explained, it can also mean now that one has received the human form of life. Now that option, that opportunity, the privilege is there to inquire. Brahma, jigyasa. And in the case of Vidura, it's a comment from the purport, it's not just Brahma jigyasa or Paramatma jigyasa, it's Bhagavan jigyasa. He's inquiring about Lord Hari and Hari's activities and the living entities in creation and his pastimes and everything about Lord Hari. So, having utilized the human form of life in the proper way, this proper form of detachment by accelerating attachment for the personality of Godhead is made possible. There's a nice discussion in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, where towards the end of chapter 3, Krishna is describing, he responds to Arjuna's question in reference to duty. Why is it that one has a sense of what is duty? One makes a resolve to perform what is duty, and then you don't do it. Or the other way around. Things that you know you shouldn't do, and you resolve by very careful contemplation not to do, and then you do. What's that? as if compelled by force, Arjuna says. So Krishna's answer is, it's lust and lust only, born of contact with the mode of passion, later transforming into wrath. Then he identifies where this lust resides in the intelligence, in the mind, in the senses. And then he describes their different, it's like, you know, we have an enemy, where's the enemy? That's where he is. And then, how strong is the enemy? Well, it depends. Then he gives three different comparisons. Smoke that's covering fire, or fire covered by smoke, and mirror covered by dust, and the embryo covered by the womb. So there's degrees of covering. And Prabhupada comments, so that's human form of life, animal form of life, and tree and plant form of life, according to degrees of covering of lust. Then Prabhupada describes that under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, one should learn how to manage the smoke. It's the human form of life, smoke covered by fire. There's a little flame, a little attraction for God and godly life, a little. But there's also smoke, the covering of our conditioning, our tendencies to go away from God and godly life. So Prabhupada comments that there's the necessity to manage the smoke and reduce it. But one can also say the other way around. There's necessity to manage the fire. And you manage the fire, automatically it addresses the smoke. But both must be attended to. The distraction to worldliness and the attraction for spiritual life. Ultimately, the ultimate issue, the attraction for spiritual life is the operative principle, or the eligibility for a candidate for devotional service is one who is eager for devotional service, one who is eager for that relationship with Krishna. In the event that's taking place right now, Vidura inquiring from Maitreya, it's, you know, go Vidura, go. Because you have this qualification, you and all of your, the descendants of the Puru dynasty, you're all devotees. Bhagavat Pradhanaha, you're all devotees of the Supreme Lord. So, therefore, you have the qualification to serve the devotees and serve the Lord. Maitreya just happens to be one of them. But you have the qualification. And because that qualification, your endeavor, will make the pastimes of the Lord newer and newer at every moment. Nutanayasi. Becoming newer and newer. Abhikshnam. Always. Pade, pade, at every step. Kirti malam. Chain of transcendental activities of Ajita. The personality of Godhead's transcendental activities become newer and newer. He becomes manifest for us. If that eagerness is there from our side. This marks, the lesson is, this is how transcendental knowledge is to be imparted, you know, to be received. Qualified person. What's our qualification? You know, we're not descendants of the Kuru dynasty or Puru dynasty. We're not, throughout our family lineage been great exalted devotees of the Lord. So he's Prabhupada writes, the great sage Maitreya thanked Vidura and praised him by reference to his family glories. It's like invoking, it's acknowledging, but it's also invoking that qualification that he has. And for us, what's the qualification that we have? It's minus. Not just zero, it's minus. But from the, you know, the, what's behind us, what qualification do we bring to the table before coming to the table? So that's not the qualification, but receiving the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our wonderful disciplic succession, that's the qualification. So, as much as we recognize the wonderful disciplic succession and the gift that they have bestowed liberally upon us, despite having no qualification, that makes our qualification. It's incumbent, as one of the questions, what's the necessities of the disciple and spiritual master? This is one of the necessities, is recognizing this wonderful gift, this great fortune. And when you recognize, you have something that's of great fortune, you recognize what that value is, you use it carefully. I'll tell a generic story to illustrate this in the class. Generic story means once upon a time. So once upon a time, there was a disciple and a spiritual master. And the disciple used to go to the spiritual master and regularly hear from the spiritual master. And the spiritual master was very pleased with this disciple who would regularly come and hear. And the disciple was thinking, the appreciation that my spiritual master has will entitle me to ask this burning question that I've always wanted to ask. And if he's very merciful, maybe he'll answer this most important question in my life. So one day he got up the courage and he asked this question. The question was, what's the most valuable thing that a spiritual master can give to the disciple? And his spiritual master immediately answered, the most valuable thing is the holy name of the Lord, and he gave him the holy name. So he was thinking, ooh, I'm so fortunate. I've been given the most valuable, not only identified what it is, but it's been given to me. Most valuable thing. So as he was going back to his home, he was chanting very jubilantly. And as he was passing a river, he saw a fisherman who was pulling in his net. And as he was pulling in the net with some fishes in the net, he was chanting the holy name. And he thought, how is this the most valuable thing the fisherman is chanting? Anyway, my Guruji, he said, this is the most valuable thing. And he was going along further in the road, further down the river, he saw a washerman who had some clothes and a big stone slab, and he was hitting the clothes on the stone slab and chanting the holy name. But wait a minute, the most valuable thing, the washerman is... I'm confused. Finally, he passed a schoolyard where children were out in the schoolyard playing and kicking a ball and running and jumping and chanting the holy name. This is too much. I'm going back to Guruji tomorrow and ask him, what's going on? So he went back to his spiritual master the next morning. And upon being presented with his question, what, the most valuable thing with this, this, and this, and can you explain? Immediately, without hesitation, his spiritual master produced a touchstone and told him what a touchstone is. This is this touchstone, just by contact with base metal, it turns base metal into gold. This is touchstone. So now my instruction for you is go to each of those three people and ask them the following question and come back with their reply. Come tomorrow morning and give me what their reply was. The question is, would you exchange for me something of worthy value of this item? Don't tell them what it is. Just offer it. So the fisherman looked at the stone and said, I don't see any use for this. It won't, it's not big enough to weight my net so it can go into the water and it can catch more fish. So I want to offer you anything for that stone. Went to the washerman. It's a nice stone, but I need a big flat stone to do my washing. I have nothing to offer you for this small stone. And when the children looked at the stone, they said, we can't hit it, we can't kick it, we can't throw it, we don't have any use for your stone. Sorry. So when he went back the next day, the spiritual master then said, now you understand? Because of not understanding the value of that thing, they weren't prepared to pay equivalent and a proper price. But when we understand the value of the thing, the holy name and the process of entering into the realm of pure devotional service, when we understand what that opportunity is, then we may be willing to pay the proper price. And that proper price is eagerness to receive it. And that's the qualification that Vidura had. His eagerness, that was his effort or his endeavor. And that's also service. Because through that one can receive transcendental life, transcendental knowledge, entrance into the spiritual world. And as Prabhupada comments in the purport, Vidura not only was eager to receive it, but Vidura was very eager to distribute it. He writes, because Vidura was one of the descendants of that family, naturally he engaged in spreading wide the ever new glories of the Lord. And that's Vidura. Now Maitreya felt happy to have such glorious company as Vidura. He considered the company of Vidura most desirable because such association can accelerate one's devotional propensities, one's dormant propensities for devotional service. So being in the company of one who's very inquisitive is the same as being in the company of one who is very expert at speaking. And in either case, perfection can be achieved through hearing or speaking, shravanam or kirtanam. The qualification is this eagerness for connecting with the Supreme, whether speaking or hearing. Okay, we had a nice long kirtan this morning, so it's already after 9 o'clock. We'll end, see if there's any discussion. Yes.
On this topic of valuing the gift that you're receiving from the spiritual master, something that I've noticed over the years is that I have a tendency to value it to some extent, and then complacency just always sets in. There's periods of complacency and eagerness every day to improve the quality of devotional service is just not there, and then I'm struggling with this unsteadiness, the complacency always coming in.
Sounds like true confession. And so the question is what to do. Become steady. And steadiness is the result of anartha nivritti. The anarthas is the cause of the unsteadiness. And so then the anatomy of what are anarthas that's found in different places. In Madhurya Kadambini and Harinam Chintamani specifically, the anarthas are identified by their source. And mainly in Harinam Chintamani, the source is offenses against chanting, is the cause of anarthas, the residual anarthas within the heart, because by chanting the holy name, anarthas can be removed, except for those anarthas that are caused by offensive chanting or not chanting with full offenseless condition. So there's one area. And that, you know, covers a lot of items. Devotees, scripture, glories of the holy name, sinful life, and so on. And in Harinam Chintamani, offenses is one. Asat Trishna, or thirst for temporary happiness, is another. And Hridaya Dorbalyam is the third. Weakness of heart. Complacency. One shouldn't be overwhelmed with discouragement that this unsteadiness is going on. Look back in time and say there wasn't even devotional service before, and now there's devotional service that's unsteady. Let me keep going to devotional service that's steady, that's beyond anarthas or beyond the causes of unsteadiness. So look that way instead of, you know, the other way. And remain faithful. But this enthusiasm, eagerness to receive that position of pure devotional service, that's, you know, fuel in your tank that will keep you going. And again, this point that was just made, recognizing the gift. The gift is not just devotional service where it doesn't hurt, so, you know, the pain is less. It's, you know, devotional service is not a painkiller. Devotional service is to eradicate the disease altogether. Eradicate the disease altogether is, you know, aversion to Krishna or having a material body that causes, and a material mind that causes so many sufferings. Eagerness. Yes.
About the weakness of the heart, so sometimes it's hard for me. Also, I also experienced like on Prasad's time. But in Prasad's time, the eagerness, for some extent, I could able to do it, but I couldn't able to sustain it for a long period of time. It's distracting.
This is the anishtata message again, the unsteadiness. It's there and then it somehow just dissipates. And then it's there and then it dissipates. That's unsteadiness. Here's the statement of Vidura. Spotless devotees of the Lord have mentioned the source of such knowledge, how could one have knowledge of devotional service and detachment without the help of such devotees? Gives you the clue of what's the solution, right? By association of those who are free from that unsteadiness is how it's a key to get to that position of unsteadiness, or get to the position of steadiness from unsteadiness. Striving for that association, seeking shelter of that association. That means taking the instruction and adhering to it. Internalizing the messages of pure devotion. And just continue, hold on tight. Take shelter and hold on tight. That hold on tight means continue to apply the instructions. Cast aside complacency and enter into this realm of enthusiasm. And that's intermittent. Keep going. Keep going. Step by step. Something else? See if there's anyone else. Yes, Rupa?
Maharaj, thank you. I just wanted to say a little appreciation of still feeling how wonderful it was in the appearance today of Srila Prabhupada, everybody reading or expressing their appreciation. And it's nice to know this utsan, this that we need this eagerness, but like you said, we can't get this eagerness without it being explained or given to us by someone who knows the value. Otherwise, our eagerness is like immature or just sentimentalism or something like that. But the value of hearing from yourself and to Prabhupada, very, very grateful for that, because then we can have maybe some real eagerness and so gets back to the wonder of, like Maitreya saying, hearing from, like the Guru was saying, Maitreya, hearing from spotless devotees. It can't be compared, it's nothing like it. I'm just very thankful for the knowledge sharing.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Okay.
Maharaj, the story of the disciple receiving illumination from his Krishna master was very touching for me, and it really hits close to heart. And I've heard it from you at the Festival of the Holy Name as well.
You'll hear it again in September.
And there's so many nice instructions, and you know, theoretically, I really get it. The Holy Name is very valuable. When I sit down to chant, it is such a struggle, and I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere in my chanting.
Mameva ye prapadyante mayamitam tarantite. You know the verse? At some point during the struggle, you can just throw up your hands and say, Krishna, I surrender. During our japa retreat in Sharanagati, there was one devotee, Mataji, that every few minutes, when chanting her rounds with her bead bag still in her hand, she would close her eyes and raise her arms up in the air and hold that position for some time and go back to chanting. She, you know, continued to chant. So during our feedback or, you know, sharing time the next morning, I asked, what was that? And she said, when I would go to the space that you just described, I was just surrendering to Krishna, just calling Krishna to please help me stay fixed. So continue and continue and, you know, You when you're going through a forest, it's all forest. But you continue moving on this in a certain line, and the next thing you know, there's a path, and there's a road. The way to reach Krishna, go that way. So it may be uncharted territory, but express to Krishna your this feeling that you just spoke. Express it to Krishna. Call upon Krishna. Continue. It's both. Make effort, receive mercy. And just keep, make effort and receive mercy. Make effort and receive mercy. Be eager to receive mercy. Be eager to make effort. Just keep faithfully moving along that path. In Krishna's own way and Krishna's own time, he'll invite you into his kingdom. He'll take you there. You spoke very fast. Oh. Slow down and a little louder.
This is about your last visit, talking about Krishna's expansion.
Yeah, talking about?
The Krishna's expansions.
Krishna's expansions. Okay, I remember that. I remember that discussion. We went through it twice. Actually, first you did it, and then I said it back. Go ahead.
So, luckily I happened to hear one of your lectures.
Okay.
In the last couple of weeks, your lecture on Nityananda Tattva.
Okay.
So, you further explained about that spiritual, about the expansion about the spiritual sky. Like Goluka and then outskirts of Goluka has been covered by the Vaikuntha, and then the Sahin Brahmajyoti. The whole lot of the explanations was sort of more interesting to hear about.
Okay. Okay.
So I was wondering outskirts of that Vaikuntha, there is Kashal Ocean, that's Karna, Karna Rakshai, where Karna, Karna Ocean, where Karna Rakshai Vishnu resides. And after that, there is a manifestation of material world. So, is there some connection or is it touches the spiritual sky, something like that?
What's the punchline? What, the very last, not the whole thing, just the very last part?
Okay. There's
what's called this. This is, it's a little technical. It's more than a little technical. It's very technical. There's the river Viraja. Viraja. It's like Tatasta. It's neither here nor there. Well, what's that? That's the river Viraja. And the river Viraja divides. It's something like, the description of Tatasta, where the river meets the riverbank. There's a river, and there's the riverbank. And there's where the river meets the riverbank. That's called Tatasta. So the living entity is Tatasta Shakti. It's spiritual. Living entity is spiritual. But in contact with matter, if the attention of that living entity is turned towards matter, becomes influenced by matter. But constitutionally is marginal. So where do the voidists, what's their destination? The river Viraja. It's a place. It's not no place. Their conception is void. but where is the destination of the, of such a living entity? The river Viraja. Neither here nor there. There's no, I can't expand upon, you know, what's that place like? What do people do there? Nothing. River Viraja. So that's the buffer. That it doesn't say how wide the river is, or you know, it's a existential place, the dividing place between material and spiritual realm. Something like that. I've not heard, like, you know, a topography detail, but something like that. That should, you know, don't try to pursue these things with your intellect, because even if you could, like, get your intellect around the subject matter, it's not going to help you with your spiritual progress. So practically, it's not a need to pursue it. There's the spiritual, and there's the material realm. You can read, if you like, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Gopakumar passes through each of the layers of the universe and reaches the other side. He's not yet in the spiritual world. He's in that, you know, limbo, in that, it's called Shiva Loka. And he feels drawn to something, like an impersonal something. It becomes very strong, then he gets fearful. So he chants his mantra and it goes away. And it keeps like this mystical thing happening. You can read that. That's this, you know, where matter and the realm of spirit. But, you know, it's not a of X dimension. Don't think of it that way. But that's there because, as you repeated correctly, Vishnu does not come in contact directly with matter. But, you know, directly in terms of his glance. And that's, you know, because his glance is not different than him. That's directly, one might argue. But that's what this other tattva is. That's Shiva tattva. It's Mahasankarshan contacting Mahatattva, the material energy. That's what Shambhu is. So it gets very technical. Very highly technical. In Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there are two things that are very, very complex. Guru Tattva and Shiva Tattva. So one can describe it, but don't try to assimilate it by intellect. You just beat your head against a wall and it'll only hurt. You get a bump. Take you to the doctor. Anything else? Yes.
In one of your lectures, you specified it's better to concentrate on the holy name, the song vibration, while chanting, rather than visualizing. But in the threshold of holy name, you also recommend visualizing.
It's the second one is something that can be done, provided it helps bring one's attention to the holy name. The visualizing is of the specifically the deity form of the Lord. It's to show that one of the things is the mind can be brought to the sound of the holy name. You can, you know, you can sit in a guided meditation and experience all kinds of things within the mind. The mind can go to where you direct it. And if the mind is directed to the deity form of the Lord, the mind can be directed to the holy name. The former is Haridas Thakur describing, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur writing in the final chapter of Harinam Chintamani, the sequence, nama, rupa, guna, lila. And it's not that one tries to bring the mind, the form of the Lord into the mind. Rather, you bring the mind to the nama, and the form will appear. So our service when chanting is hear the sound of the holy name. The sound, vibration, form of the Lord will awaken the form of the Lord in the mind. And that's the primary instruction. The other is, go back to the other one, the other is to help us understand the mind can be in fact directed. So if the object of one's worship, one's worshipable deity, is by effort brought into the mind, it may help one pay attention to the holy name. We accept things insofar as they're effective to achieve the goal. Commonly, however, if the mind goes to something, like supposing you're chanting, and while chanting you think of something that enthused you very much about something you read or heard. You're feeling enthused, but your attention is most likely away from the holy name. So it's nice to feel enthused while chanting the holy name, but it's especially important to feel enthused from association with the holy name while chanting the holy name. And feel enthused as Maitreya is feeling enthused, or Vidura, in the process of hearing and chanting Krishna Katha. Yes.
The writing Mahamantra helps to focus. Sometimes I feel that whenever I write down something,
the mind goes there. Your mind goes there?
Yeah. I saw this
while thing. Chanting?
No, I just take that as a form of chanting, mm-hmm. focusing on Mahamantra. I also saw this in Mayapur temple. They were giving one paper and they were asking to.
I'm not sure of this, but my understanding is in Gujarat it's common. When I first went to the Chicago temple, the congregation development director, rather than having people chant the holy name, he was giving out little booklets they could fill out and fill, you know, the altar. They would come and place them on the altar, and the altar had piles of these little booklets of people writing the holy name. I don't know where the practice came from, but it's, you know, it was common. They were into it. So, taking that from Gujarat over to Bengal, you know, 1, 2, 3. But the our acharyas don't teach us to write the holy name, they teach us to chant the holy name. Hear and chant the holy name. I'm sure there's no harm. I'm sure there's transcendental benefit from writing the holy name, because the mind is going to the holy name while writing. That's what you're saying. But to better capture the mind is through sound. Okay. Thank you very much. And Prabhupada Ki Jai.